This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Our radio show is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and our TV show can be viewed on Free Speech TV and on our website. The Trump administration last week took steps to withdraw guidance that the Obama administration had given to schools for protections of transgender students. Under Title IX of a 1972 law protecting school children from sex discrimination, former Attorney General Loretta Lynch advised schools to allow transgender students to use the bathroom consistent with their gender identity. Trump, whose political support emerges from many homophobic and anti-transgender groups, appeared to be rewarding his allies with his gesture of withdrawing the Obama-era guidelines. Well, what does this mean for transgender children? My guest is Karen Dolan. She's a fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies, and she recently authored an op-ed entitled, "Why is Trump Discriminating Against My Transgender Child?" Welcome to the program, Karen.
Thank you so much for having me, Sonali.
So first, tell me about why this is such an important issue to you personally. You are the mother of a transgender child.
I am. I have a transgender teenager who actually was fortunate enough to be part of a cohort of transgender teens in 2015 who weighed in with some of their experiences with the then Education Secretary Arne Duncan, that was part of writing this very important guidance that the Obama administration issued in 2016.
So let's try to understand what exactly it is that Obama put in place so that we can understand what Trump took away. The news headlines have said a lot about rolling back protections. So explain what it is that Title IX offered for protecting children in this 1972 law, and what additional guidance the Obama administration offered to schools, whether that was binding or not.
Sure. So Title IX stated that children that were in public schools in the U.S. or in schools that received any federal assistance couldn't discriminate against children on the basis of their sex. And over the course of the decades, as we became more aware of the science behind gender identity, and there was confusion in some school districts and with transgender children and with our new understanding of gender identity, to make sure that gender identity was included under that under the term sex. And over the course of a decade, there's been case law from many courts that have said, yes, indeed, Title IX, the term sex does include gender identity. And so a lot of the educational associations and teachers and parents and principals and students really wanted some clarification to just make that federally understood that Title IX does indeed protect children. Children's gender identity so that they can't be discriminated against.
So does that mean that schools were required to offer transgender children the, to allow them to use the bathroom consistent with their gender identity, or was this in the form of guidelines?
Well, Title IX is a law, so yes, and the Obama administration was willing, the Department of Justice was willing to go to court and to sue school districts that were not complying.
So this was basically a clarification of a law, and if any school chose to challenge that, it could have led to a court case that could have then actually put it in stone. But before any of that could happen, if it would have happened even, what did Trump do?
Well, I mean, it has happened, you know, as I just said, over the last decade or so or more, it has happened. And courts have found in favor of the transgender children and have repeatedly found that Title IX does include protections of gender identity. And so Obama's guidance was simply clarifying that. And there were still school districts that were refusing to comply. And Gavin Grimm, school district in Gloucester, Virginia, is one of them. He's a transgender teenager whose school board would not allow him the right to use the boys' bathroom. And so that's going before the Supreme Court, hearing oral arguments on March 28th. And what Jeff Sessions, the attorney general under Trump, did in his first 48 hours of office, which gives you a pretty good indication of how important working against transgender children is to him, rescinded that guidance. So they can't take away people's rights, they can't legalize discrimination, they can't change Title IX, but they did revoke the guidance that clarified it, purposefully sowing confusion.
So what they're essentially doing is sending a symbolic message that the federal government isn't going to come to the aid of transgender students if schools sue to discriminate against trans kids.
That's right. That's exactly what, that's exactly what they're doing.
So this specifically applies at a time when we have a very controversial education secretary, Betsy DeVos. What role, and this is someone who has made it very clear that she comes at education from a religious right-wing perspective. How, what role did DeVos play in this whole issue?
Well, that's right. DeVos is another particularly dangerous cabinet pick because she is anti-public education, as the Attorney General is arguably anti-justice. And there were reports that she initially didn't want to sign it. I think she's been feeling the heat from parents and from educators about her, you know, debacle in her confirmation hearings, where she wouldn't commit to anti-discrimination, and she wouldn't commit to protecting LGBTQ rights, even though it's law. So there were reports that she was initially reluctant, but then she did wholeheartedly sign the rescinding of the guidance. And of course, it does fit with her ideology and where she's placed her money in organizations that do discriminate against LGBTQ people.
So at this point, is it essentially now up to schools to, you know, while this case that you were mentioning of Gavin Grimm going to the Supreme Court, in the meantime, schools essentially have to use their own discretion about how transgender children should be treated? Or does Title IX protections, as Obama described them, stand?
Title IX protections stand. It is not up to any school district or any locality or any principal or any school board to discriminate against children. That is illegal and unconstitutional, full stop.
So if this particular case goes to the Supreme Court, if it happens at a time when Neil Gorsuch, the Trump nominee, has joined the court, giving conservatives a 5-4 majority, what do you expect the outcome to be?
Well, if as judges, as Supreme Court judges are sworn to uphold the law, they would have no choice but to uphold the meaning of Title IX and reaffirm that children cannot be discriminated on the basis of sex and gender identity.
It's amazing to me that the administration took aim at children. Do you think that that just shows them to be particularly cruel, or that that was one of the few places where they could impact federal policy on the issue of transgender rights as a whole?
Well, my personal opinion is that it's extremely cruel. So it's not only transgender children that are under attack. It's children with disabilities. It's any children who wants to attend a free public school without having the funds diverted to for-profit charter schools. They're even going after nutritional guidance for school lunches. So it is a very, from my perspective, a very ruthless Justice Department administration and Education Department that is not putting the interests of the children first, as they're our future. So to me, there's nothing more important than safeguarding the human rights, dignity, and education for children. And what we've seen, it's been, 5 weeks, we've seen a full-out assault on the children of this country.
Karen, how How do you cope with the moment that we're living in today as the mother of a child who is basically from a very vulnerable demographic? I mean, I fear for my little brown children, and I can only imagine what you're going through. Can you express some of that fear and trauma? Because I think it's really important for us to name it as we, you know, kind of ramp up this resistance, the fact that it comes from these very personal places.
Sure. And my child, too, her father is a Black Cuban immigrant. So she has some other intersections that she's living at, in addition to being transgender. And I'm a single mother. So but she is in a vulnerable population. But I've been able to get her into a school district in the District of Columbia that has a very strong trans inclusive policy and guidelines. So they're a good model for the rest of the country, and they're very strong. And she's outspoken as an advocate for other children that are not as lucky as she is. And I think for all of us, the way we find strength is from everybody who's showing up on the streets. I mean, I had a neighbor out of the blue this weekend come over, knock on the door just to give my daughter a hug and say, "You're welcome in this neighborhood, and we're sorry for the bigotry that's coming out of this administration." So I think that we're seeing a real outpouring. We see that with the Muslim ban, people flocking to, you know, to airports to welcome immigrants into this country, people on the streets. I think that the people in this country who have a sense of decency, morality, and respect for human rights have been on the street and very vocal, and that gives me a lot of hope.
What do you make of Caitlyn Jenner's anger towards the president that she supported, you know, a very prominent transgender figure, but happens to be conservative and supported Trump? I mean, we're sort of seeing a little bit of buyer's remorse from some sectors of our society who find themselves or the people they love in the crosshairs of the person they supported.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, it's no secret that Trump doesn't have a true sense of a true understanding of what truth is. So whatever he said in his campaign or even now at the podium, I mean, one can't take it as reality. And he did say that he supported transgender people's rights to use whatever bathroom they choose. And he went back on that rather quickly. Caitlyn Jenner hasn't been an outstanding advocate for any progressive causes, but she was also very new to her transition, and I think she's becoming politicized as she's having to meet more and more transgender people and see the vulnerable positions that people who are not in a privileged position that she is, to see children attacked. I mean, if you have any sense of decency or a heart or any sense of morality, you would be outraged at this. So I'm very encouraged to see that she is.
Right. She said she feels betrayed. She said, from one Republican to another, this is a disaster, and you can still fix it. You made a promise to protect the LGBTQ community. And then she added, "Call me." It's just it's really, really interesting that all of this is playing out. Karen, what's next on the horizon, as far as you can tell, in terms of what the government is going to take aim at? Are we going to see particularly greater state level attacks on transgender communities? Because the Republican Party is very organized at the state level. State legislatures, well before Trump was on the scene, had already started this hysteria over who gets to use which public restroom.
Yeah, I think that the sky's the limit for attacks on the constitutional rights of American citizens at this point and people who live in this country. So there will be, I believe, a big push in the name of quote unquote religious freedom to chip away at rights that historically marginalized communities already have. And also people of low income, even the, you know, some of the white working class who voted for Trump, there's no plans to protect their well-being. In fact, it's the opposite in terms of block granting Medicaid and taking away health insurance and taking away public schools. There's really there's no one who will benefit, I believe, in this under this administration except people who look like Donald Trump.
Well, Karen, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, for speaking out as an advocate for your child. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
My guest is Karen Dolan. She's a fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies, and you can actually read her writings at ips-dc.org. And at that website, you can find her recent op-ed entitled, "Why is Trump Discriminating Against My Transgender Child?" We'll post a link to our website as well. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. You can sign up for our newsletter at risingupwithsonali.com to get daily emails with links to all our stories.